B-Pod Studios.
Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain and inform you in the afternoon. Felger and Maz. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now, you boys ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's go, Murray. Maz.
I think I'll go for a walk outside now. The summer sun's calling my name.
Hey, Paul.
I hear you now. I just can't stay inside all day. I gotta get out, get me some of those rays.
Woo!
Everybody's smiling.
Yeah.
Sunshine day. Everybody's laughing. Sunshine day.
Woo!
Everybody seems happy today. It's sunshine day.
The big boy's back.
It's true. Paul Perillo in our Tom Ford Target Studios. Hi, Pip.
What's up? What is wrong with you?
Who?
You.
It's football season.
I think it's a CBD.
But Paul just informed me something. I said Patriots Football Weekly. No Mas. R.I.P. Yeah. PFW, huh?
Done.
When did that happen?
Done. This last year was the last year.
So no more like newspaper. It's just a sad.
But there's not an online version?
No.
Oh.
No, just Patriots.com. You know, we're getting with the times. You know, it's all digital.
I asked the same thing. Why don't you just do it in like a weekly online? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
No, the kids today don't do that. Weekly.
Nah.
What does that mean?
Exactly. Right. They don't do TV shows weekly.
They don't read for crying out loud.
There's a lot more content that we do now and, you know, with podcasts and the TV shows and all that stuff. So it's just, you know, the time had come.
So now it is literally sunshine.com.
It's just purely
sunshine.com.
Sunshine,
all the time.
How about that?
Okay, so Paulie Paul will be with us every Wednesday through the football season. Really looking forward to it. You'll enjoy him on the preseason games as well on television from the Bob's Discount Furniture something or other. Room, studio, whatever. Paul?
You're very disrespectful.
I don't mean to be. I just gave your sponsor a plug.
Did you catch, by the way, just quickly, I actually included this in one of the emails a while ago. Did you guys catch the size of those close-ups with Paul in that studio? Holy crap. Talk about him coming right through the lens. Wow. This has nothing to do with me joking with you about the donuts and everything else. I'm just talking about the Zoom. Holy crap,
There was one in week one that caught me a little bit.
Holy smokes, you were right in my face. I was like, wow.
Of course, you guys know tomorrow is the all-important fourth preseason game.
Yes, correct.
Otherwise known as the Paul Perillo Show. So I want you guys to be there early so you can catch all the insight.
I could have picked his nose for him, for crying out loud.
Be sure to trim the nose hair and the ear hair, because that comes through on TV when you're that close.
Evidently. Yeah, that first one. I know the one you're talking about.
Wow.
That was a little too much, Paulie, even for my liking.
Right in my kisser. I was like, Jesus, get out of here.
Yeah.
Paul, how do you like your football team?
I think it's been a pretty good summer overall. I mean, the David Andrews thing has been a little bit of a bump this week, but the way they've played defense this summer, I don't know how you can't be excited about it. The way they finished, you know, last year in the Super Bowl, you know, I think some people, maybe myself included, wondered what Brian Flores leaving would do to some of that aggressiveness. And based on the early returns, nothing. They're going to be just as aggressive, 15 sacks through three games, less than 8 points a game. I know it's just the summer and we've been fooled by this stuff before, but it is kind of a continuation of the way they finished. So I think there's a lot of enthusiasm about the defense.
So you said in our email, and you're not the first, Ted Johnson even said this, that you think this has the chance to be the best defense they've had since ...
Yeah.
Ted Johnson went like 0-4 on me.
Yeah, and personnel-wise, it probably doesn't stack up with 0-4, but you know, in terms of the way they play, you know, teams are having a hard time putting 100 yards of offense together in these games.
I'm glad you said that, because personnel-wise, you know, so I mean, do you think this has a chance to be a better defense than 2014?
Oh, yeah. I do.
So, but again, is it personnel? Because just looking at the personnel, I mean, you tell me that was, again, in their primes, you would say, you know, drafted, developed, Chandler Jones, Jamie Collins, Dante Hightower, Will Forks last year, Ninkovich, Revis, Browner, Chung, McCourty, Harmon, all 5 years younger than they are now. So you're saying this group here, you know, Wise or Winovich, Lawrence Guy, Danny Shelton, Michael Bennett, Van Noy, Landon Roberts, Hightower, Collins now 5 years older, Derek Rivers, Juwan Bentley, Jason McCourty, Gilmore. That stacks up personnel-wise to what I said in 14?
Yeah, I think it does. And I'm not going to go down each and every player individually, but I do think, you know, just at the top, because I think you and I are sort of similar in our philosophies. We want a guy that can get after the passer, and we want a guy that can cover. I think that maybe the three of us agree
defensively. Sure, absolutely. No
question. I think Michael Bennett is a pretty good player. I think he's going to be a big boost to that pass rush. And I think Stephon Gilmore right now is playing better than Darrell Revis was in 14.
Is that right?
Now, I don't think he's a better player than Darrell Revis, so don't misinterpret that and get all sunshiny on me. I think 2014 Darrell Revis was not as good as the current Gilmore. And I think that's a big part of it.
I mean, that 2014 team, I loved that secondary. I loved it.
So, I the personnel, close. I still might give the nod to 14, but I'm glad you made the distinction. How they're playing. So, I think whether it was what Flores did or Belichick's evolution or, the aggressiveness, and I don't think they were as multiple or as aggressive in 14 as they are right now, last year and what looks like to be into this year as well.
And I talked to Mayo about this a little bit on Monday, I guess it was, when they made the assistants available. Just all the different combinations that they can have in the front seven, I don't think they had those kinds of options. You know, Jamie Collins, Dante Hightower, and Kyle Van Noy can be used inside, outside, pass rush, dropping into coverage. I don't like any of them necessarily dropping into coverage, but they can be, used in that way. And I think what it does is it confuses the offense. And I think we saw that throughout the preseason. Now, that's easier to do in the preseason when sometimes you're dealing with, maybe some kids that aren't quite ready for the different things that they saw. But I just think that it won't necessarily be, one guy with 15 sacks. I don't think there's a Von Miller here, but I think there's a lot of different guys that can cause some problems to the quarterback, and that's where it starts. And I think the coverage is pretty solid.
I mean, the continuity counts for something too, right?
Yes.
They've had turnover on the defensive line, but the rest of it is pretty much intact, and they've added Collins, like even a guy who's familiar with the system.
Offensively.
That's a work in progress. And, I don't think I'm trying not to whistle past the graveyard. They have some issues with the receiving position. I haven't bought into the whole notion of Josh Gordon came back and it suddenly became a strength. It's not a strength. It's a question with virtually every position. Edelman, I think we all agree, if he's healthy, he'll be, Julian Edelman. After that, how long is Gordon eligible? Where is Demaryius Thomas in terms of, where he left off last year physically? That's a tough injury to come back from, an older guy who's already looking like he lost a step. Then you get some kids like Philip Dorsett. I think he kind of is what he is at this point. He's a guy, if you throw him the ball, he generally catches it, but doesn't make a whole lot of plays. He made a few here and there last year, most notably in the AFC Championship game against Kansas City, but I think we know what he is. And then you're dealing with the big unknown of N'Keal Harry. I just don't know exactly what to expect from him because we didn't see enough of him during the summer. What we did see wasn't overly impressive. I think he was in and out, in terms of dealing with his physical problems. And I think he had some a hard time at times getting open and freeing himself. So I don't know how much we can expect from him in year one. So
Gordon and Demaryius Thomas being taken off those injured lists, they could have stashed each of those players on those things and saved a roster spot, except they exposed them. So now they have to make a decision. You're either on or off.
Right.
Do you think either were done with the thought of maybe releasing one, or do you think they're all on the team and it's a six receiver group?
I think Gordon is definitely here. I think you take him off NFI because you don't want to lose him for six games. How many are you going to have him for? You don't know. So you don't want to sort of waste one.
So if he started the year on NFI, he has to wait 6 weeks?
Yeah, it's the same as PUP.
Okay.
Thomas is a guy that I wouldn't necessarily, put in pen as he's a lock. I think he'll be here. I think Brady likes him. I'm sort of buying into the body language that we've watched during
the
summer.
Absolutely.
And that happened in the practice field too, Tony, not just in the games that we saw on the preseason games. They look like they had a pretty good connection. And watching him rehab, he's running well. But I did think it was kind of striking on Sunday to listen to him talk about, I have some good days and some bad days. And there's some days it's there, that electric, burst, that I used to have. Some days it's there. And then the next day, I think Bill said, we've seen him do some impressive things at times. Now he needs to string them together. So I don't think he's a lock, but I'd be surprised if they let him go.
I just wonder, can they manage that? In other words, if the burst is there some days and other, they cut back on the practice schedule. Maybe,
sure.
They may handle him a certain way during the week. Maybe it's there more frequently. I have a hard time believing they're going to cut him based on how he and Brady are basically have hands in each other's pants on the bench, for crying out loud.
Why do you have to be so crude?
Well, I think it describes it properly.
It did.
And the CBD is kicking.
Yeah, it brings some life to it. Paul, do you
feeling
think
pretty good over here, Paul?
Feeling dangerous.
Can they win, go deep, be a championship team as a running team?
Solely as a running team with no passing game, no. But if they do what they did last year, you know, the running team in the playoffs threw the ball 45 to 50 times against the Chargers and the Chiefs. You know, I just yelled at Jimmy in the studio
Good
about
job.
That earlier. They ran the ball exceptionally well down the stretch and in the playoffs last year. Michelle caught his stride. I think he looks like he's even better. I mean, I hate doing this. You know, 21 years and I'm still looking at preseason games again and, you know, trying to draw, you know, some conclusions from them when I know that you shouldn't. But didn't he look more dynamic, more electric, more like that number one draft pick running back out of Georgia that we all expected? Maybe he's a little healthier. Looks like he maybe shed a couple of pounds. I don't know for sure. But he looked like he could be one of those guys. Instead of 8 or 10 yard gains, he looks like he's ready to take those into 30 and 40 yard gains.
Okay, finally, the schedule, the field, your thoughts on it, the competition.
It's awful, and it's not just the AFC.
Be careful. The Patriots fans and media get very...
Believe me, I get it. I get it just as badly as you guys
Put on rubber-soled shoes, Paul. That's the third rail, pal.
It's... I just think the league in general is down. I think there are a couple of teams, you know, that seem like they have an idea of what they want to do. I think Kansas City's one, and I do respect Andy Reid, but also I'm very cognizant of the fact that he can't seem to get over the hump, and a lot of times it's because of him. He does something that prevents his team from getting over the hump. And I think that's the number one, really, and only threat in the AFC. I think Pittsburgh can be good. I believe in the addition by subtraction theory, and I think that is going to happen with them, but I still don't really love Tomlin. Colts, eliminate. I don't know. Houston, I don't believe in the offensive line. I think when you have sort of a mobile, scrambling quarterback, sometimes the line, the job is harder. I know that sounds counterintuitive, but I think sometimes when you have a guy who wants to extend plays, it makes it harder to protect him at times. And I think a lot of times you see those mobile guys are among the most sacked. It was like that with Michael Vick, Russell Wilson. So I don't really believe in Houston. And a lot of these teams, they have ability, but they never really seem to be able to get over the hump against the Patriots. Kansas City is one that has. They've been able to beat New England a couple of times. They didn't last year. But I think the AFC is weak. And I think in the NFC, who really scares you there? I mean, I think there are some good teams. I think the Rams were a good team last year, but I think we all went into the Super Bowl kind of expecting the Patriots to win that game.
I still think New Orleans could be pretty
good. The Saints, I think, are pretty balanced on both sides, but I thought Breeze really dropped off down the stretch last year, and I don't know. We'll see if another year later if he's able to make it all the way through. But I do like the Patriots defensively. I mean, I know it sounds like we're talking about 2001, but defense, running game, and coaching. And I think that's enough.
Okay. Your thoughts on the team with Paul. I'll have him weigh in on the Gronkowski stuff that we've been hitting on today, Brady's future and your feelings about that. All that will be on the table with Paul and your calls after this.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Thanks for choosing Felger and Mazz to entertain and inform you in the afternoon.
Eclat.
Felger and Mazz. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now, you boys ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's go, Murray. Mazz.
I think I'll go for a walk outside now. The summer sun's calling my name.
Hey, Paul.
I hear you now. I just can't stay inside all day. I gotta get out, get me some of those rays.
Woo!
Everybody's smiling.
Yeah.
Sunshine day. Everybody's laughing. Sunshine day.
Woo!
Everybody seems so happy today.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass.
Just your classic sports radio sort of thing. Opinion, phone call, commercial.
The stories of the day.
Blair, put the desk, bro!
in their unique way.
This is what we do.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I truly needed to be selfish for once in my life and walk away. Yes, I'm on the right path to where I am now. And I got a lot farther to go. And I feel great and I am pain-free. But I truly believe I can get to another level with my body. And I'm just in the first stage right now. And when that time comes down in the future, if I have the desire to play football again, if I feel passionate about football again, if I'm feeling like I need to be out there on the field, I will go back to football. But as of right now, that is not the case. It could be the case in 6 months. It could be the case in 2 years. It could be the case in 3 years. It could be the case in 3 months. But I truly don't see it in the foreseeable future in like a week or a month. And I'm going to keep it out. No.
So that was a Gronkowski press conference yesterday, obviously. Paul Perillo, Patriots.com. I'm always going to say
Felgy.
Patriots Football Weekly. It's going to be a while before I get out of my head. Patriots.com. What was your read on that press conference yesterday?
Yeah, I kind of took it a couple of different ways. And I have no doubt that Rob is, you know, certainly dealing with more injuries than most. And, you know, the darkness that he probably... But I can't help but think part of this is due to what he's hawking, right? I mean, he's got to make himself relevant. If we're gonna continue to, you know, tune into all of his press conferences, he sort of has to leave that door open that he might come back and play. And I also wonder how... I mean, I don't want to go all the way and say I didn't believe him in terms of how bad it was, because I do believe it. And I watched it last year. He wasn't the same guy last year just interacting with us. So I can imagine that he was dealing with some problems physically and emotionally. But I wonder if he maybe exaggerated that a little bit for the sake of his product. That's kind of what I...
Do you think there's any chance to come back ever?
I really don't. I don't. I mean, I hesitate to say never because you've seen so many different things. I mean... You think anybody thought Jason Witten would come back?
Right.
I mean, he goes into the booth. It was like a seamless transition, and then all of a sudden he's back. So I hesitate to say never, but I've never felt all along that he was coming back this year, and now I think it's a 0% chance he's coming back.
I mean, it's not apples to apples, right? Marshawn Lynch took a year off too, didn't he? I mean, I'm just saying, is this becoming like a thing now? Guys doing this in the middle of the, you know, at
recharge
the end of
your batteries, and, you know, 29.
Le'Veon Bell did it.
You come back, you're 31, you know, with a whole year of rest under your belt. Yeah, I hate to say never, because you just rattled off a couple right off the top of your head.
I mean, I think he's done, Paul. I do. I heard him yesterday, and I said he's done. He's not coming back.
Yeah, and I think I believe that he's done this year, and in his head, he's done, and he strings along the future return right now to hawk his products. But I do think, and, you know, there's nothing to prevent him from 14 months from now waking up and saying, actually, I've really changed my mind. I want to go back. I think that could happen. But I think his plan right now is to not return for sure and use football to keep people on the hook a little bit. And that, you know, and that's what I think that he's doing. Okay, one more thing, and then we can get to the calls. Paul, your thoughts on just what we've been discussing today about Patriots fans' desire to basically go down with the Brady ship at the expense of the next quarterback.
It's a big topic, and I know it's one that you guys, as you know, being a chronic listener, I don't know why, of you two losers, I listen to you guys all the time. You always portray it as such an all or nothing thing, and I know Mike's going to say, "Well, that's what we do here." You know, it's all or nothing. It's content, but why does it have to be 4-12, or, you know, the next guy is like guaranteeing you that 10-6 relevancy?
Well.
You could pull the plug on Brady and go to 4-12. That's a possibility, you know.
Well, it is, I understand that. I'm just trying to crystallize what fans want as a fan. Maybe not even what's the smartest thing for the team. Like, you know, you're of this
I want to ride the Brady thing out as long as you can, because I think that gives the team the best chance to win as many titles as possible. And that's, as a fan, that's what I would want.
Okay, because it's best for the team.
Yeah.
But you're not doing it because you can't stand the thought of Brady playing in another uniform.
Oh, no. I mean, that's...
Because I think there's a lot of fans that feel that way.
I wouldn't want to see that. It's not something I'd look forward to. And Tony and I have argued about this being Boston guys. It never bothered me that the Celtics never pulled the plug on the big three, you know, on Larry Bird.
So it didn't bother you?
It never bothered me that Larry Bird never played in another uniform, and they... they had a chance to have the perfect succession. Unfortunately, it didn't go well because Len Bias died and Reggie Lewis died, or they would have continued to be extremely relevant in the 90s. But I didn't want to see Larry Bird play somewhere else, and I don't want to see Tom Brady play somewhere else. But it's not that's not the driving force. I think Tom Brady staying here gives the Patriots the best chance to win right now, and that's what I'm concerned with.
Paul, just quickly, the only thing I would, at that time, I mean, I was 25. Okay, so I wanted Bird to stay then. Now, see you later.
Mr. Adult. I'm all well adjusted.
It's got nothing to do with being an adult.
He's on medicine in the middle of radio shows. God only knows what's going on.
I got all hopped up on drugs in the middle of my work day.
Yeah, my grandmother would call him a hophead.
Murray, if you gave me some weed right now, I'd smoke it.
I know.
But Murray is of the mind that I'd rather be 4-12 than see Brady in a Titans uniform.
Yeah, that's where I have to sever ties. I think we said in the email chain, I'm not as psychotic as I think, but I do think that I would side more with him. Why are we looking to end this any earlier than it needs to be ended? At some point, he will no longer be able to play, and then he rides off into
the sunset. That's easy, though. That's easy. Of course, you ride Brady as long as he's playing well. He gives you the best chance to win, and then when it's obvious he can't play anymore, you move. What if he wants to stay? What if he wants to stay when it's obvious he should move on?
Oh, then you have to do the right thing.
You know, because again, the way that question is phrased.
Okay, but what's the right thing?
You have to tell him, I know that you think you can still play, Tom, but you know, you threw more interceptions than touchdowns. You can't play anymore.
I mean, so what if it's just not that dramatic, but Bill says, I can actually get someone better in here and younger.
A year like last year.
So, I mean, let's say it gets another 10 degrees, another 10% worse than last year.
Yeah, as long as I'm still winning, I don't want to stop it because I don't want to see if some other guy can come in. Tony's completely convinced that if Garoppolo were here, that was the succession plan. I'm not. And I don't think there are any guarantees that whoever the next guy is that you identify is able to do the same things, you know, that allow you to win. And I don't know how to quantify what Brady did in the fourth quarter and overtime in Kansas City. But I can tell you one thing. If Brian Hoyer were playing that game, the Patriots would not have won it.
So, totally agree. Yeah, but I'm willing to sacrifice in the short term for the next 10 to 15. I am.
But again, the way you phrase it, I think anybody would. But
no.
You don't make that change with the guarantee of relevance the next 10 to 15 years.
Not anyone would, and of course there's no guarantees.
Like even the Packers didn't know that Aaron Rodgers was going to do that.
No, but they made a hard call and they picked the future over the old guy.
Right, and they were right.
Yeah.
The most important thing is that they were right.
Yes.
If you can guarantee me that they're going to be right, I'll take 15 years too.
No guarantees in life.
Right. That's the reason why I have the guarantee with Brady. I'll keep that.
Well, so it's just the way these questions are phrased. They asked, do you believe the Patriots should do everything they can to make sure Brady retires here as a member of the New England Patriots? 79% chose the top two categories. If you go to the top three, it was 90%. And that question implies do everything they can above anything else. So the priority is that Brady finishes his career here. So you make it black and white. Is that at the expense of the next quarterback? Is that at the expense of the future? And I think the fans say yes. And that's sort of what we're discussing. Also, they asked in this channel media market research, in your opinion, what could the team do to improve? What could the Patriots do to improve their team? So this was unaided write-ins. They didn't give you multiple choice. They didn't give you that. Mm-hmm. This is just people coming up with it on their own. What's the one thing they can do to improve their team? You know what was the number one answer at 23%?
Keep Belichick.
Pay Tom Brady.
Oh, mine would have been Belichick.
Okay, that was number two. Number two was extend Belichick. But the first one was be fair / extend / pay Tom Brady, like the GOAT. Which means, so they just, by giving them the money, how does that improve the team? So it's just, the polling said, really, Tom over team, which is exactly how Murray feels.
That's right. Yeah, and they're being fiscally responsible, too. They're not talking about cash. You feed them like a goat. Yeah, we feed them oats. They don't cost much.
To me, Paul, because maybe this is because I'm in the business of the Patriots. I'm not a Patriots fan. There's a difference. I want them to be good and relevant every year for as long as they possibly can. That's my selfish concern. I'm concerned about the next 10 to 15. I don't ever want them to be 4-12. I don't ever want to not have a football season. I want that longest run possible, even if it comes at the expense of Super Bowl number 7.
Boom.
Yeah, and the only thing
difference between 6 and 7? You're already the best ever. You're just padding your stats now.
No, so, I get what you're saying, and if you phrase it the way you're phrasing it, I understand your side. I just don't think that it works that way. I don't think keeping Brady affects, you know, lessens your ability to find another guy to be relevant the next 10 or 15 years. I think that the way you and Tony talk about it is the longer you go with Brady, the decreasing your odds of finding another guy. And Bill, I don't really understand why it works that way.
Because if Brady outlasts Bill, you do. I want Bill picking the next guy.
Well, if Brady outlasts Bill, then it's all changing anyway. Like, you're going to be okay. So as long as Bill picks the next guy, but he's not around to coach him, you think it's the same?
I want him to start it.
Ugh.
I want him to start the guy down the runway.
I need Bill to be here in order to continue that 10 to 15 thing.
He needs to be here for a little bit of it anyway.
And they're both, you know, obviously going to go at some point.
Okay, we continue with your calls on all of it, I promise, after Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
The situation we have at quarterback, I think that we felt as an organization that we needed to address that to some degree in the future. So we'll see how all that works out. I think you're better off being early rather than late at that position. We know what Ryan's contract situation is. We know what Tom's agent contract situation is. I don't think you want to have one quarterback on your team. I don't think that's responsible to the entire team or the organization.
Hi, I think Felger and Mazur are itching to move on from Brady. Bill's been itching since 2014. I remember that comment. So, you know, Paul Perillo doesn't necessarily agree with us, but Bill does. Your thoughts, Alec in the car.
Bill does because he drafted a second rounder.
Go ahead, Alec. What do you got?
Hey, guys. Wanted to call in because I think a key part of this with Brady trying to play till 45 is deciding if he's going to play or succeed. Unfortunately, as much of a diehard fan as I am, I do believe he's going to play for another team. But unfortunately, at those other teams, he's not going to have Bill Belichick or Dante Scarnecchia, who I think Dante Scarnecchia might be the most undervalued person in all of football.
Okay, thanks for the call. Paul, what do you think the odds are that Brady plays for another team?
I think they're small, but I would not eliminate them. And you can't, you just can't ignore what just happened. The whole situation with the contract and the fact that he's never been in this situation before and he could be, I mean, he is as close to free agency as he's ever been. You can't ignore that. I think that they sort of have come to an understanding. I think there's some trust on both sides, and I think that they'll probably hammer this out probably a year at a time for here on in. They'll probably sign a bunch of one-year deals, but you can't just sit there and say there's no way he'll play somewhere else based on what, I mean, even Adam Schefter, I think, said that recently. So I would agree that there's a chance. I just don't think he's going.
Yeah, he just doesn't want them making the call anymore.
He negotiated contractually obligated freedom into his contract and put his house for sale. Like, I don't know how, if that were any other athlete on any other team.
And the house part to me, and I know he really downplayed that, but the house part to me is relevant.
Of course it is. It usually is. And I have a hard time believing, even if he goes year to year, he's going to put the kids in school in Manhattan, he's going to come back here and play football every day?
Now, I will say...
Or take the helicopter from Greenwich? I find that hard to believe, too.
Because, you know, with the whole thing with the franchise thing, the only reason for him not to want to be franchised is flexibility.
Right, because if he wanted to go year to year, he would keep the franchise
thing. If he gets a one-year contract next year, the chances are he's not going to get paid any more than the franchise. Right?
Right.
So, for him to be willing to... I need that out, you know, and that's the way it's been sort of unfolded to us. Again, I'm not privy to the negotiations.
He's tired of them having the leverage. He's tired of it.
I don't think the Patriots had any desire to franchise him.
Yeah, but the point is that
now they can.
But it's there.
Exactly.
It's there. And so now they don't have it. And so they had leverage, and now they don't.
Okay, Patriots swing a trade today. Corey Cunningham, backup lineman from the Arizona Cardinals. So he started six games. So yeah. I don't know whether he's a backup or not. Seventh round pick last year, goes to New England. Have we found out the price coming back or going out?
Sixth round draft pick next year.
Sixth round draft. So a sixth for Corey Cunningham. Pat in Providence has a thought on that trade. Go ahead, Pat.
Hey, guys. So I think it's eerily similar to last year. The reason is, name a starting left tackle in the league that's less than 6'4".
So you think this is a replacement for Isaiah Wynn, not a swing tackle as a backup?
Yeah, I think they're kicking Isaiah because ultimately I think Isaiah Wynn's got a guard body. He may have long arms, but that doesn't matter. There's not a starting left tackle in the league that's shorter than 6'4". So by getting this guy, I think they're solidifying that left tackle position again, like they did last year with Trent Brown.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Hasn't Arizona had the worst offensive line or pass protection in the NFL for like the last 2 or 3 years?
Certainly up there. And I would also say Isaiah Wynn's going to be the starter at left tackle this year. Now, maybe they're not convinced that he can be the guy. And maybe, you know, Tooney is going to be up. And, you know, maybe they feel like, you know, if Tooney goes, they will slide Wynn inside and they want to replace, you know, I don't know. There was last week, there was some thought about Trent Williams in Washington. I know the Patriots media people put it out there that there was absolutely no truth to that. I don't know. You know, maybe they are looking for someone instead of Wynn. I can put the whole 6'4", whatever. So Matt Light, if they had Matt Light now, they wouldn't play him at left tackle.
How big was
even
he?
Even though he wasn't 6'4".
6'3", I think.
So
I'll check.
You know, they played with him for 10 years and he got by. I think Wynn has looked pretty good when he's played.
Yeah.
I think it's a matter of keeping him healthy and getting him up to speed.
And speaking real quick to Arizona's offensive line last year, Josh Rosen was sacked 45 times in 13 games.
Yeah. I thought he had the worst pass protection in the league just about.
Light's listed as 6'4".
So
and he wasn't.
He was just saying. To me, Light wasn't one of those huge apartment building left tackles, but he was just big enough barely.
Yeah.
Wynn, to me, feels wider but shorter.
Yeah, he is. And that's a concern. And the caller might ultimately be right. Maybe he's just not big enough to play tackle. But I don't think they're bringing in a guy a week before the start of the season
to supplant him
for a sixth-round pick to supplant him.
No way.
No, so that's great. So in that draft, that 2018 draft, they took a running back and a guard in the first round. That's great.
Here's Greg in Dighton. Hi, Greg.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. What do you got?
No, I was just thinking about Murray, what he said about he wants a clean slate once Belichick and Brady are done. I'm the opposite. I'm with Felger. I want to keep this going. Keep McDaniels, have Bill draft the next quarterback, and keep this going for the next 10 to 15 years.
Thank you. And you're not going to keep this, meaning Super Bowls every other year, going. But I just go back to the San Francisco thing where they went from Walsh to Seifert to Mariucci and were a playoff team and a contender, if not a champion, for like 20 years.
Yeah, let's remove Robert Plant and keep going and calling it Zeppelin. It's not the same. It won't be the same. So let's have a clean slate with new suck bags.
But I don't know if you heard Murray say this before. To him, 4-12 is the same as 12-4.
Oh no, I heard that. I was on the expressway. I almost died. But you guys haven't explained to me why can't you play Brady out to the end and still do the thing that you want to do?
You can if it all works out perfectly. It usually doesn't. You usually have to make a choice somewhere along the way.
So your concern, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't want to put words in your mouth.
Yes, sir.
Your concern is that Brady outlasts Belichick.
Yeah, well,
Belichick decides this guy's never going to retire. I'm out.
To me, I want Belichick drafting the guy and spending as much time with him as possible. And every year that Brady's here is another year off that clock with Belichick. Yes, correct.
Okay. I mean, I just don't see why Belichick can't just wait it out with Brady. And then if he doesn't have a guy on his roster, that if Stidham is not the guy, then, you know, I just think nowadays in the league, there are starting caliber quarterbacks, not Brady, not championship quarterbacks, but starting caliber quarterbacks that change teams. So he could take one for a bridge guy for a year or so, give you your beloved 10-6 or 11-5 to maintain relevance, and figure out who the next guy is that I think it can continue. I think the program is just established, and I think it won't be the same without Brady. To Jim's point, it won't. We all know that it's not going to be the same, but you can continue to have success.
I just think the odds increase the more it's about Bill, and the sooner he's got the runway, and the sooner that he's got the freedom to do it, the better your odds. Of course, you can still do it. You can thread the needle. I just like your chances better the more it's about Bill, the sooner. Long commercial-free segment is next.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
I understand. I feel that love. But I want to be clear to my fans. I needed to recover. I was not in a good place. Football was bringing me down. And I didn't like it. And I was losing that joy in life. Like, the joy. I'm sorry right now, but, oh, dang, I really was, and I was fighting through it, and I knew what I signed up for, and I knew what I was fighting through, and I knew I just have to fix myself, and I believe I have the tools, I have the people around me, I have CBD medic team around me now to help me to deal with my pain whenever I need it, whenever during a workout, whatever it is, so I can do the most safe alternative way for myself. I believe I have the great people around me to get to where I need to get to in life. And I am very satisfied where I am in life now.
All right, Pip, want your thoughts on one more thing before we go. It's obviously Gronkowski yesterday. And, watching NBC Sports Boston, again, Tom Kern, I think, who has just killed it this offseason. With good, hard-hitting sort of insight that you get nowhere else about how Brady's feeling and how Gronkowski's feeling. And he said something last night that really caught my attention. But basically, the long and short of it is that emotion you heard from Gronkowski and that the lack of joy and everything was as much about being beaten down by the system in New England and the team in New England as it was the sport of football and injuries. Again, here's Curran last night, Jimmy.
He's all set. He doesn't want to come back to this team. And this coach and the way they do their business in the way that is the expectations are so high, the pay relative to what he was enjoying compared to other players
but didn't
was so
say
low.
When I left, I had a year left on my deal, so if I come back, I think I have to come
it would
back
be with the
England.
Patriots.
Yeah, so again, yeah. I mean, this is a team that tried to trade him. This is a team that underpaid him. This is a team that made his ass get out there every single game in the preseason.
So how much of it by the end was the injury and how much of it was the environment?
They were in lockstep. They were 100% in lockstep.
Okay. Again, I think that's a big statement to say it was just as much about the environment in New England as it was about his injury history.
Yeah, and it was eye-opening to hear, but it was also tough to ignore last year just in watching him. And I'm not saying he moped around all year, but you guys know because you've both been in locker rooms your whole lives, and you know when there's a guy that sort of acts a certain way and then he's maybe acting a little bit different, you notice it. And that's what I think we all noticed with Rob last year. I don't think he was the same happy-go-lucky, fun-loving guy. And I got to think that at least part of it was due to some of this stuff. And I know it was very real the previous year that he was considering retiring. And, you know, he was sort of, you know, whining about his deal. And the response was to, you know, to all but trade him to Detroit. I am 100% on board with that whole story, and I think he remembered that all year. I think he loves to play. I think he loves his teammates and all the emotion about football with him, I believe. I think he loves to play football. But at the same time, I think he sort of felt a little stifled here. And I know a lot of people would just say, well, you know, get over it. You win. And, you know, it's really hard to win all those titles. And you're right, but at some point, you know, maybe he felt like it wasn't worth it anymore if he wasn't really in doing what he loved and enjoying doing it.
So is it possible, as we, you know, handicapped, does he want to come back? Will he come back to football? That something you have to put in there is he wants to come back to football, but not here.
Under his own terms, yeah. And I think that there's a possibility that's the case. But, you know, that whole fun term, you know, think back to some of the stuff that Brady did. And, you know, when you know, is this what we're doing it for? And, you know, it's just not fun anymore, you know. I just wonder if some of the guys that have been around, some of the pillars of the team, feel the way Gronk sounded in that clip. And it hasn't manifested itself, but I think in part because Bill is so good at what he does, and he's so good at having everybody focus on what the task is at hand, and also turning it over. You know, people sort of use it as, it's so much more impressive that Bill has been able to maintain the winning, because in this salary cap era, you can't keep the team together. I don't think he has any desire to keep the team together. I don't think his message works if he has too many guys that have been together for too long. He has his guys that he knows are on board and with the program, and the McCourties and the Chungs and all those kinds of guys to augment the superstars like Brady and Gronk. And then he wants new guys to come in and hear this message is new, not the same old tired thing. I think it's part of the grand plan.
I don't think there's any question that some of the pillars of the team believe what Gronk believes. And again, Brady just asked for a clause in his contract that would make him a free agent.
I think there's a lot of guys on the staff who are feeling that way. It's why part of the reason you had such of that, you know, that exodus of guys, and apparently there's more guys that want to leave. And I think, you know, fatigue, or I don't know what you, whatever you want to call it, it's a tough place to work, and maybe it just adds up. They're humans.
I mean, look, with Bill, there's got to be a burnout factor, right? The average career span in that league is 3 years, not even. Okay, so he doesn't care because he says, you're going to be gone anyway. The next guy comes in, he'll get sick of me. Like, what's the likelihood that someone's going to play for me 10, 20 years? Well, here you go. You get a couple of guys that have played for him for 10 or 20 years. So, like, I just think the Gronk thing, I mean, there was some other stuff that he said in that interview that we haven't necessarily played on the air, you know, in his bed in the middle of the night after winning the Super Bowl, crying. Both, you know, now look, you can say that might have been because of the pain of the quad injury. Maybe there's a lot more going on between the ears than we know of. And I say that as, you know, depression, concussion related stuff. Mm-hmm. He lost his enthusiasm for playing and putting in the effort, and he was out of whack. I mean, his internal equilibrium emotionally, psychologically was out of whack.
You might be right.
And he said, screw this. I mean, you're in your bed crying in the middle of the night after winning the Super Bowl. That doesn't sound right. And I'm not making fun of him for it.
No.
I mean,
it speaks to his state.
Yes. I mean, that tells you a lot. And I don't know. I made a couple of phone calls in the last few days, both as it pertains to Luck, as it pertains to Gronk, because to me, they both sort of, you know, are coming from the same place. And I think that there were issues there with both of those guys. Like, that they, you know, they really were losing their sense of reality. And they just disconnected. They said, that's it. I'm out.
I like when every once in a while Tony goes back to his reporter days.
Actually makes calls and tries to inform himself. Yeah. I always tell him it's just a dangerous, slippery slope mistake.
Why are you bringing information?
Let's just throw crap against the wall, please, and go home at six. What are we doing?
Go home at six.
For a little while, I was good at it. But I don't know about it anymore.
Paul Prillo, just a last time we're going to see before the roster cuts on the weekend. Any surprises in store? Who do you think's on the bubble? Who do you think's in danger? Two quarterbacks, three, six receivers, ..
Yeah, I think there's a lot of interesting things. I don't really look at a huge surprise right now. I think maybe Dietrich Wise might be a guy on the bubble. I know a lot of people early in training camp had Daron Harmon. I never really saw that. I think he's a pretty valuable piece back there for them.
Too bad.
He's one of those guys. He's solid.
I'm not saying I get anything against him as a guy.
No. I think he's solid on the field and off. Yeah. I think, you know, I don't think he's a starter. I don't think he's a Pro Bowler, but he's an important guy.
No, he was. He was good in the AFC chip. Oh, that's right. He didn't play in that game.
For God's sakes.
What, he played two snaps? Anyway, go ahead.
So, in other words, I don't think there are going to be too many surprises. I do think six receivers, and I think the whole Hoyer thing will be something to follow. Right now, I say Hoyer's off. I think Stidham has played well enough that you can save a roster spot there. And if you feel like you need Hoyer at some point, I think you'll be able to re-sign him.
And again, Patriots swing a trade today, so that's got to be bad news. Who's that bad news for, Jimmy? I'm sorry. I just want to hear it.
You got to hear the big boy's voice.
Dan Skipper.
Bad news for Dan Skipper. That's swing tackle.
And who's been a journeyman.
That's what I thought.
So they do a 6-round pick for a tackle, sort of a tweener guy for a low round pick. I'm curious what that means.
Yeah, my guess is exactly what you guys said. I think they're looking for depth at tackle, and they have Cole Crosston, they have Dan Skipper, and now they have Corey Cunningham. We'll see if he can get up to speed in a week or so, and you know, maybe he makes it initially and they let him go after a while, but I think Isaiah wins the left tackle.
I mean, the Andrews injury's got to factor in here too, doesn't it?
That's a good point.
Because if Karras can't do it, I mean, isn't, like, I don't know.
There's going to be a lot of shuffling Tooney. Going on.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know if Tooney's ever played center, but then you'd have to kick someone over to guard, and Wynn would be a logical choice.
Well, take it the other way. If something happens to one of the tackles, I think the next best tackle is Tooney. Based on the whole spring of him working at left tackle, they probably like him better as a tackle than Cole Crosston or Dan Skipper. So if something were to happen to Cannon or Wynn, now you're short somewhere. And right now, a lot of people, I think Mike Reese had a projection today. They'd only had 7 offensive linemen. That's a really small number. I think you have to keep 8. Maybe Corey Cunningham is your 8th.
Okay, Pip. Always a pleasure. Always informative. We'll see you every Wednesday. And so we'll see you a week from today.
Absolutely.
Straight home tonight, Paulie. No drive-through.
No practice tonight.
Patriots.com. Read him there. See him tomorrow night on the preseason telecast. Hour to go. We'll reset our top conversation here. It deals with what you want for the Patriots and the future. You want them to emphasize Brady, or you want them to emphasize team? And yes, Paul, we make it black and white to improve the discussion. And we'll get back to it after Murray's 90-second update. No commercials. Details here on that Patriots trade.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.